from a fancy video set, also known as Bob's office. You're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heiser. I interviewed our Executive Vice President of Strategy and Planning, Bob Jordan, recently, using questions that people submitted via our Twitter account. Now, you can watch a portion of that on the video on blogsouthwest.com, but as it says in that video, this episode of Red Belly Radio contains the full interview, which contains a funny story of how many locations Bob has officed. So here goes. With me today is Bob Jordan. Bob is our Executive Vice President of Strategy and Planning. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
You know, for the last hour or so, we have been taking questions off of our Twitter account. People have been sending in questions about the big announcement today. But before we get to those questions, why don't you just tell us about that big announcement?
Well, we are really, really excited to be going to Boston on August the 16th. We're going to have 5 flights to Midway, 5 flights to Baltimore, and we are, you know, we're in Boston in the area today. We're in Providence and Manchester, and the Boston Logo service just really rounds us out, and we're really happy to be there and bring our low fares, customer service to the Boston, Central Boston area.
Well, Grant Standridge asks a question that's probably on a lot of people's minds. He wants to know about fares, and can we give some kind of special promo for the first week of Boston service?
Well, you know, as always, Southwest Airlines has great fares all the time, not just the first week. And I'm really happy to report that if you just look as an example, our fares are regular, everyday fare. So this is where you can walk up to the ticket counter and get. You can get on southwest.com and get. Our regular everyday fare to Baltimore is going to be about half of what the average everyday fare is in the market today. And our regular everyday fare to Chicago is about 30% less than the average fare to Chicago today. Those just get them everyday kind of fares.
Just walk up at the last minute and buy a ticket.
That's it.
Well, Greg Fairbanks wants to know specifically about the Boston-Philadelphia service. Any timeline for that specific route?
Well, Greg, we don't... We got to get started first, right?
Yeah.
So we actually have to operate in Boston Logan. But as always, we're really excited, and I think Boston's going to be a home run. And so we'll see from there. You know, if you saw what we've done in Minneapolis, I think we started Minneapolis on March the 8th. So we've been there about 5 weeks, and we were really excited last week to announce, or I guess 2 weeks ago, to announce new service to Denver. And I'm not promising that that's what's going to happen in Boston, but if, you know, success breeds success, and so just stay tuned for what we may do there.
And certainly from those two cities, Chicago and Denver, you can go throughout our entire system.
That's right. We have connections, I think, to 48 cities from Boston Logan through either Chicago or Baltimore. So we can get you all across the United States out of Boston Logan.
Let's see. Our good friend, looking forward to future, Dan Webbage asks, what will the Boston service mean for future growth at Providence? And Dee Parm would like to know, what can we expect to see from Southwest in 5, 10, or maybe even 20 years down the road?
Boy, that's a long time. Well, I think the main story here is that Boston Logan complements our service into Providence and our service into Manchester. One of the things that we found was that it really is tough to serve central Boston through Providence or through Manchester. So Boston Logan serving central Boston, this really helps us round out the whole area. So we can bring our great customer service, our fares, our no fees to the entire area, and we're really excited about that. Now, if you look out 5, 10, 15 years, you know, it's tough to tell you what next week's going to hold, let alone 5 years from now. But again, we're really excited, think we're going to be successful, so stay tuned.
It's true, this industry has changed quite a bit in the last 2, 3, 4 years.
It's changed a lot in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
So it's just like the economy and everything else.
Let's see. On a lighter note, Yat Pundit wants to know, will there be any legal seafoods in our terminal?
As opposed to illegal seafood?
I had to ask. That's a restaurant. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Not familiar with the
that.
Boston restaurant. It looks like there are already several in the airport and in and around
right.
Boston. And just wondering what the concessions will be like in our terminal.
Well, we're going to be serving Terminal E, and as always, we're going to work real hard to take a great facility and make it even better. So to the concessionaires that are there, look out, because Southwest Airlines customers are coming, and so we're going to be good for your business, and we're going to be good for the business of others around us in the terminal. So as for Legal Seafood, I don't know. I'm not sure whether they're there or not, but we're going to be good for the terminal.
Well, Dolce Meta has a question. Are we hiring employees in the Boston airport, either for the airport or for non-airport-based positions?
Well, Southwest Airlines will have about 40 employees, at least initially, in Boston Logan. Some of those will be coming from other locations in our systems. What we always do, we give a first priority. It's a Southwest way. We give a first priority to folks who work for us that may want to move to the Boston area. And then based on that, we'll hire what we need to kind of round out the 40. And again, it's too soon to say anything, but I'm hopeful that success will breed success, and we'll be able to hire more folks and more flights, and we look forward to that.
And pretty soon, maybe we'll fly to Philly. Like I think it was Greg.
No promises.
No promises, but maybe. Let's see. Jason Pontius says, first LaGuardia, now Logan. Although I think it's the other way around. Keep it up. And soon we won't ever have to fly another airline.
Well, we love competition. I'm not going to say that, but we fly between 90 and 100 million customers a year. We have by far the largest network, largest domestic carrier in the United States. And this is all about continuing to connect our network, this great network that we have, to new locations that we know folks want to go to. And we know folks in those cities, like LaGuardia, like Minneapolis, like Boston Logan, want to fly Southwest Airlines. So it's a strategy for us to continue to add very important dots to our map. And if we win a customer or two away from our competitors, that's fine too.
Yeah. So. Now, this isn't a Twitter question. This is my question.
All right.
We have for the better part of three decades or more, always our business model has always been to fly to close-in, smaller regional airports,
right.
You know, Love Field, Houston Hobby, Chicago Midway, and even though our service to those cities has made those specific airports fairly good size airport, but they're still closer in,
right.
More convenient,
right.
Easier to get in and out of than the international airports. What has changed either in the industry or the economy that has made us start to consider these airports like Boston and LaGuardia?
Well, some of this is a misconception. So if you go way back to the beginning when Southwest Airlines started, you're right, it was a strategy to serve airports that others did not serve. But for 20 years now, we've been in big airports. So we've been in LAX, in Los Angeles, we're in Phoenix, we're in Oakland, we're in Las Vegas. You know, we do serve large airports. So that's not new. I think what is new is that we are, we're the largest domestic carrier in the U.S., and we need to be in places like downtown New York, downtown Boston, Minneapolis. And so it's just an extension, really, of our network. And again, the other thing too is we really want to continue to win business travelers, and business travelers want to go to business centers. Again, places like downtown New York, and LaGuardia, and Minneapolis. So I would say it's not a new strategy, but we are doing an awful lot this year.
Well, I guess you could actually argue that LaGuardia is not the big international airport in New York.
That's right.
JFK is. Now you have a. An interesting fact about you. This is totally off the subject of Boston now. You have officed on every floor of this building. It's a 5-story building, and
right.
You have officed on every floor, is that correct?
Every floor but five. Every floor but the floor with the cafeteria. And I have aspirations of one day finding my way to five, but I think it's just no one wants me near them or something. I've been 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I think in the last 7 or 8 years, I've moved 9 times. So I've gotten pretty good at basically picking up all my crap and just taking it to a location and laying it out the same way. So I don't know. So one day, 5.
Thank you very much.
And to our folks in Boston, we're excited. Look for us. Fly us.
Beantown, here we come.
You bet.
As a little caveat to that story that Bob Jordan just said, I'm here with Whitney Eichinger from PR. Whitney... Bob just explained how he has officed on 4 different floors of this building. And you, as someone who has tried to, on occasion at least, track him down for various things, you have a little story to share.
I do. We were coming up to Bob Jordan's office to film the famed mustache video. And so I was 100% sure I knew where his office was. So there's three of us, and we ran up to the third floor, and we walked up to where I thought his office was, and the door was walled shut, so I knew it wasn't that area, and that was on the third floor. And then we ran around on the second floor because I thought maybe I'd misjudged the third floor. I went down to the same place on the second floor, couldn't find him. And then a group of us decided he must be on the fourth floor. We ran around on the fourth floor, asked several different people in technology, his own department, mind you, where's Bob Jordan's office, got 15 different explanations of where he was, and finally discovered him in a corner. Arrived there and talked to Lisa Carter, his assistant, out of breath, and said, "We couldn't find you anywhere." It was very panicked, but yet very funny.
Now, the mustache video that you mentioned, that's one that we haven't actually released, so don't look for that. But the story behind it is Bob Jordan had a mustache for something like 27 years, and he had never shaved it in all that time, and then just shaved it one day.
Yeah, he did. It was really, we discovered it at the shareholders meeting. Both Paul and I noticed on the screens that are shown inside the break rooms that Bob Jordan did not have his mustache anymore. No one had told me, and I was more startled than anything that ever happened at shareholders meeting ever. That's where the idea came from, and we kind of went with it from there.
Now, the reason we never released the Bob Jordan mustache video is that we never really had a reason. It just seemed to be this random story that never really tied in with anything either going on at the company or news in the industry. Now, since I recorded that interview with Whitney, we have decided that due to the video that is out and due to this podcast, both surrounding the Boston News and featuring Bob Jordan, that maybe that mustache video is better timed and now there's a connection. So look for that within the next few weeks. Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2009. The captain has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.